Actually, tonight, I have a very simple task. Because I really feel like the Lord asked me to just simply give you an invitation. And really, the whole evening is going to be about that invitation. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one we've been worshiping tonight, is giving you an invitation. Come dine with me. Will you come dine with him? You know, Linda's been talking about your values as LifeLink, and she said one of the top ones was relationship. And we know that some of our best times together are around tables. I mean, around meal times. It's my favorite thing when our girls all come home and the grandchildren are all there. We're going on a summer holiday the week after next, and we'll have large tables spread out and we'll sit around the table, and it's my favorite time. The best of times are around tables. And we've all eaten with many different people and interesting people, but you will never get a greater invitation than when the King says, "Will you come dine with me?" And so we've tried to represent it with two tables tonight. And this invitation is from this minute on. This is not for a ministry time at the end of our time together. Because I really believe that the Lord wants to meet with all of us. And that he has got something specific for all of us at these tables. Now, there's not room for everybody to sit at the one time. So that's why I'm going to invite you right through the whole time I'm talking, that you can come at any time and you can sit at the table. There's some bread, there's some good things to drink, there's some fruit. You might want to actually take some of it, you may not. But I'm issuing the invitation. And what I'm going to ask too is that for those of you who normally minister, that if someone comes and sits at the table, just come behind them and lay your hands on their shoulder. I don't want you to pray for them in the sense of talking and engaging with them. I simply want you to pray over them until they feel free to move on. I think if the King invites us to take a place at the table, we shouldn't hold back. He's got something for you tonight. The Bible is full of imagery about eating and about drinking. And he says, "Will you come? Will you come and will you receive?" And I just want to unpack a little bit of what I think we can receive as we come to the table. And actually, even right at the start, Linda was invited to come and share some of her memories. And Linda, you probably represent many other people in this room. People who serve faithfully in your local church, who serve this camp, who serve LifeLinks. And I just feel tonight that the Lord is giving you permission to take the apron off. Take the apron off. I love it when Jesus said to his disciples, when he sat round a table with them, and he said, "I'm not calling you servants anymore. I'm calling you friends." Linda, you are a friend of God, and you know that, but you are also a faithful servant. You have served this, you've served your church faithfully, you've served this network faithfully, you served the wider church faithfully, apostolically with Dave as you've traveled to the nations. And I just feel like I've got to come. I feel like the Lord wants to honor you as his friend. And I'm going to come and I'm going to invite you. Will you come to the table? Because I think Linda is going to represent a lot of people who serve faithfully. And the Lord says, you know, you would be willing to wait until someone sits down, and then you would be quite happy to come and... She doesn't want to sit at the head of it. You'd be quite happy to come and pray over the person. But if you're a servant, will you take your apron off? Will you come and join Linda? Because I really believe that he wants everyone to receive tonight. He wants to pour in. He wants to bless. He says, come. Come, take your apron off. This is a place at the King's table. you get time to rest. You get time to receive. You get time. Actually, I'm looking at you, Frank and Jody. You get time to replenish. I think, come to the table. I think this is a time for you. I think you're entering into a season of replenishment. I think that you too give in many different settings and situations. But I just feel like the Lord is saying he's increasing your store of seed. He's increasing the store of seed. And as he increases the store, it is so important that you will be replenished, because then as you plant that seed, it's going to be watered and the harvest is going to multiply faster than you've seen it multiply up to this point. Because you've done a lot of work. You've done a lot of digging. You've done a lot of plowing and you've done a lot of sowing. And sometimes the results of that haven't been all that you'd hoped and dreamed for. The word replenishment, I feel, is written over your lives at the minute. He's increasing your store of seed. Well, some people come behind them and somebody behind Linda and put your hands on them. Come to the table. In the Word of God, there's so many invitations. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Everyone who's thirsty, are you thirsty tonight? Then come. Who said yes? Come. If you're thirsty, come. If you're hungry, come. He satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. He lays a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He brings us into his banqueting house and his banner over us is love. He's standing, knocking at the door. And he says, if you open the door, I want to come in and I want to eat with you. That's the desire of his heart. He says, will you come? Come dine with me. There's so many stories about Jesus having meals with people. The miracle at the wedding feast. The biggest picnic that was ever organized. He eats with sinners. He eats with the marginalized in the community. He shares deep truths with his closest friends when they have their last meal together. He uses a meal, and we can use this meal tonight as communion to remember him and to look forward to his return. There is a place for you at this table. There is a place for you. Nobody gets to be excluded. You know, when you go, I don't know if it's the same in America and Canada, when we go to wedding banquets, your name is usually on the table, and you know, that's your place. Sometimes when invitations like this go out, people count themselves out. They think, oh, well, you know, I wouldn't like to go forward. I wouldn't like to take my place because, you know, like there's some leaders up here and of course they have a place at the table. But I don't have a place at the table. God says you've got a place at the table. I know this might embarrass you, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to take your hand. You've got a place at the table. Your name is written on the table. And God says to you that you're so precious to him, that he has a seat for you at the table. And I feel like this is a really important time for you, that God is pouring into your life, because it's a time of preparation for all that the Lord has for you in the future. And he says, just rest and receive in this season. This is not just for tonight, but this is a season for you to really receive, to understand your identity in Christ, to know that your roots go deep down into him, to give you a fresh confidence and strength for all that lies ahead. And he says, there's a name place here. It's got your name on it. And you've every right to be at the table. So enjoy it. Enjoy your place at the table. Everyone has got a place, and you're invited to come. Nobody is excluded. There's a place for you. And you know what? We couldn't provide as much food as we would like to, but this is only representative. It's a banquet. It's not a buffet. You know the way with a buffet, you kind of take little bits and pieces and you move away and you come back. God says, I'm spreading a banquet for you. So that's why it's not about just tonight. He says, I want you to carry away from this place the truth that every day of your lives, I'm inviting you to come dine with me and I'm providing a banquet for you. And what's even better, you can come as you are. You know, sometimes if you're invited to a banquet, you kind of feel you've got to dress up. I actually like dressing up, but I know some of you don't. And so you can come as you are. You just come with even some of the stuff that we heard in the prophetic word, some of the disappointments, some of the hurts. You come as you are and you sit and God has got provision for you at the table. Come to the table. So some of the things that if you come tonight, you may well experience. But because God is such an amazing God and knows our needs better than we know them even ourselves, some of you will receive things that I won't even mention because God knows what your needs are better than you know yourself. At this table, there is communion. There is that connecting afresh to God. He wants to speak to you. If you just take the time, he wants to speak to you. And what does Isaiah says? He says, listen. Listen to me and eat what is good. And you will delight in the richest of fare. Do you need to reconnect with the Lord tonight? Do you just, you know him, you love him, you're a follower of Jesus, but it's been a wee while. You just haven't had those. Life's busy. You haven't had those moments of connection. There's communion at this table. You can come and sit and listen, and he will feed your soul. There's communion. But at the table as well, at the king's table, there's also forgiveness. There's forgiveness and there's reconciliation. Think of Zacchaeus. He hides up the tree and Jesus is passing and he says, come on, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to have tea with you tonight. I want to eat with you. I want to have a meal with you. And in the context of that meal, Zacchaeus finds forgiveness and he finds reconciliation and even is encouraged to start a whole new way of living that involves restitution for some of the things that he had done. There's forgiveness at this table tonight. There's reconciliation at this table tonight. And God wants to come and just pour out his spirit upon you. And he wants to meet with you. And he wants to have a deeper relationship with you. That's why he invited Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, I want to know you. I want to be your friend. I know your brokenness. I want to meet with you at the table. And so Zacchaeus experiences something of the joy of a relationship with God. Have you lost a bit of your joy? Has life... Has the enemy robbed you of some of your joy? Then come. There's still places. Make the most of it. Come and let the Holy Spirit renew your joy again tonight. He wants to pour it out because it is as we connect with him again, as that we understand the extent of his amazing grace for us and his unconditional love, that even if we're going through the hardest times, it doesn't make any sense intellectually, but the Holy Spirit can release that joy to us, which will be our strength. There's joy at this table tonight. And then there's refreshment. There's refreshment and their strength. In the middle of the problems, what does Psalm 23 say? He lays a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. I love that. It's in the middle of a battlefield. You know, I think we fight the battles and then God gives us a little bit of space to go and sit down at the table and, you know, recharge and be revitalized. But the psalmist said, he lays a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If you can just imagine one of those amazing battle scenes in a movie, and to think of this amazing banqueting table being spread in the middle of the battle, and Jesus saying, oh no, it's okay, you can come and sit down. In the middle of the battle, in the presence of your enemies. He wants to give you strength. He wants to give you courage. He wants to give you fresh faith. My friends, and I've forgotten your name, we sat together at a table last night and we talked. God says to you tonight, I'm laying a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And then he says, come. Come and be refreshed. Come and be re-strengthened. Yes, you're on the battlefield. Yes, the battle is raging, hot and heavy, but God's promising you, I'm laying a table before you in the presence of your enemies. If you have to, elbow somebody else out and get in there. Well, there's spaces over here. He's laying a table before you in the presence of your enemies. There is fresh strength to be found here tonight. There's fresh courage. There's fresh boldness. And there's fresh faith. It's here for the taking. It's always, the invitation is to come. Come. And Jesus says, see what I will do. I really felt like the Lord was impressing on me that at his table, there's always healing. Do you need his healing touch tonight? Well, when you come to the table of the King, there's healing. Let him pour himself out on you. I love the story in Luke chapter 14 where Jesus is going to eat with a prominent Pharisee, and they're all so concerned about their status and their place and their positioning at the table that they completely overlook the fact that there is a man there who needs a healing touch. They're not interested in him, and Jesus touches him and Jesus heals him. And he's teaching them something about the nature of the kingdom of God. That's it's about inclusion. It's about people who they wouldn't even have looked at. We would say looked at sideways. And the kingdom is all about going to the margins and bringing in those who feel that they're not worthy of a place at the table. There's healing at this table tonight. Jesus healed at tables. That's what he did. And he invites you to come. And it's not just physical healing. We talked about disappointment in the prophetic word, but there are other hurts some of you are carrying. And the Lord does not want you to go home carrying those hurts. He says, come to the table. Come to the table. And let me heal some of the hurt that you've been experiencing at this time in your life. Let me pour out upon you. And let me heal you physically and emotionally. And then some of us need fresh perspective. We need to see things from a different point of view. And when you come to the King's table, you get to see things from a completely different point of view. When we come to the table, he gives us fresh hope. He gives us fresh faith. I love the story of Mephibosheth. That is not easy to say. If you've never read his story, read his story. He was a son of Saul, and he was living in a place called Lodabar, land of nothing. He was living in fear of his life. He was living with all of the shame and the guilt of his grandfather's actions. Saul was his grandfather. He was in hiding, and David remembers his promise to Jonathan. He remembers the close relationship that he had with Mephibosheth's father, Jonathan. And he says, is there anybody from the house of Saul that I can show kindness to? And they tell him about Mephibosheth, and he invites him. The king invites Mephibosheth to come dine with him. But it's not a once invitation. It's David says to Mephibosheth when he sees him, I want you to have a permanent place at the table, and I'm going to treat you like one of my own sons. That's what God has done for us. He has made us his sons and daughters. We have a permanent seat at this table. That's why I'm trying to underline this isn't just for tonight. This is for the rest of our lives, that we get a permanent seat at the king's table. And Mephibosheth comes. And at the king's table, some of that fear that he's carrying is just lifted off him. Some of that guilt and shame that he's carrying is lifted off him. Do you know, I love the fact Mephibosheth's name means the one who takes away shame. He wasn't living in the good of it until he came and sat at the king's table. You know, some of you are carrying things, but God wants to put a sword in your hand to do damage to the enemy. And as you come to the king's table, he can do the very thing that pierced your heart. He can turn it around. There's a girl, and I'm looking right at you, and you have glasses on your head. God has a sword for your hand. It was a sword that pierced your heart at one point, a place where the enemy really tried to do you damage. And the Lord says, I'm going to take that damage that the enemy tried to inflict upon you, and I am going to turn it around. And instead, you're going to have a sword in your hand that's going to do damage to the enemy. You're going to do damage to the enemy. He wants to, almost like he made Mephibosheth, live up to the good of his name, the one who takes away shame. Do you know, there's something about that. I see you lifting shame off young women's lives. You're going to use that sword to cut off chains of shame off young women's lives. God is turning this around for you. You too can take hold of the name of Mephibosheth and say, I'm going to be the one who takes away shame. At God's table, we can receive something that will turn our lives around. Turn the very thing that the enemy thought would destroy us and make it something that we can use against him. Just like Mephibosheth did. Just come. Come to the table. Come to the table. Fresh perspective. We've talked about rest. Some of you need rest. Said to Linda about taking off the apron. Life is pressurized. Life is difficult at times. But what did Jesus say? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of you have lost sight of that. And you need to come. And you need to rest. You need to rest. Just come. You don't have to even... I remember whenever my children were small, I think that was the hardest time. It was the hardest time to maintain a relationship with the Lord. It was the hardest time to carve any kind of me time out of my life. And I always felt that I wasn't doing well as a Christian. I mean, I remember sitting, you know, after I'd got them all to bed and going, you know, I know I should pray. I know I should read my Bible. I'm too tired. And I remember on one of those occasions, I just really felt like the Holy Spirit was sitting there. And he said, Priscilla, I'm right here. Just relax. You don't have to do a thing. Just sit with me. That was the most releasing thing I think I'd ever experienced. Some of you need to hear that. You can just rest and rediscover that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Some of you are so desperate for a rest that even the thought of getting up out of your seat to go and rest is too much. Just rest. Rest in his presence. And then, at this table, there is provision. There is provision. Margaret sang it out tonight, that our God does immeasurably more. We have got the immeasurably more God. You know that wedding feast that Jesus went to and turned the water into wine? Do you know what it was the equivalent of? 1,000 bottles of wine. It was ridiculous. 1,000 bottles coming at the end. You know, they drank all the rest and then Jesus provides some more when they'd run out. 1,000 bottles. He's ridiculous. That's the kind of God we have. It's far more exceedingly abundant than we can even ask or think. There is provision at this table. Ladies, well, some of the men will be glad to hear this as well. There's no dieting at this table. Yes, we can just enjoy it. We can eat as much as we like. His provision is boundless. And he says, come. Come, I will be your provider. I will be everything to you that you need. The lady in black top glasses, just sitting right over here. You know, he's saying to you, I am. You know he's your provider. But I think you need it underlined at the minute. He says, in every sense, I will be your provider. That I am standing for you. I am your champion. And I know your needs. And I really do believe that he's promising material provision as well as every other type of provision. He said, my promises are true. And he said, just hold on and wait, because I'm going to provide for you in unexpected ways. We heard about the God who makes a way where there is no way. He says, there's going to be unexpected provision in your life. I am your God, I am your source, and I am your provider, and I will provide for you. I feel like it's a promise that he wants you to grasp hold of tonight and know that he will be true to his word in your life. And so at the table, there may be financial needs in your life. There may be, maybe you're unemployed and you need a job. Just come to the table and ask him. He says, ask me, give me this day my daily bread. He invites us to come. He invites us to ask. And he is an abundant God. And then, I believe at this table, there's also restoration. I love the barbecue on the beach story, where he meets with Peter. And he says, you know, Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. And he asks him three times. And we know why he asked him three times. Because Peter had denied him three times. He messed up three times. And Peter even got irritated that the Lord asked him the three times. But Jesus knew it was so important that he get the words out three times. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know that I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. Some of you feel that you've messed up. Some of you feel that, yes, you're a Christian and you'll roll along, but God will never use you again. It's a lie. He wants not only to restore you, he wants to recommission you. He says, I've got something for you to do. And I want you to know that restoration. And I want you to hear my voice. And I'm saying to you, will you feed my sheep? Will you feed my sheep? Will you take up the call? And will you know that I can use you? Yes, I know all of the mistakes. I know it all. But I still invite you to come. It's not quite a barbecue on the beach, but use it like that. And come and let the Lord recommission you tonight. And so that you leave here knowing that you have his stamp of approval. And that he loves you and he wants to use you. And so as Margaret and the band come, I want us to use the rest of our time. I want us to worship. If you're really desperate to get to the table, just throw somebody off their seat. God loves desperate people. So we want to use the rest of this time to come. And my invitation from the beginning stands true as we begin to worship. Love bade me welcome, but my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing my first entrance in, came sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I said, and worthy to be here. You shall be he, said love. I, the unkind, ungrateful? Ah, my dear, I cannot look on you. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my sin go where it doth deserve. And know you not, said Love, who bore the blame? Ah, my dear, them I will serve. You must sit down, said Love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat. Come, the invitation is for all. If you can't find a place at the table, just come and sit at the front and imagine that you're sitting at the table. Come and receive all that he has for you tonight. The invitation is from the King.